You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
Beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep, beep.
Transmitting from Zucchini Land, it's Steve, Jack, and Sam, the Zucchini Brothers, live at the clubhouse.
Let's all get together, have a little fun. Let's all get together, dance under the sun. Shake your head and body round, everybody must get down. Shake your head and body round, everybody must get down.
Get down. On the radio, in the clubhouse, with the Zucchini Brothers. Yeah, going to different places, doing different things. Yeah, with all our friends.
Stirred by gentle winds, the first few bold autumn leaves drop to the ground here in Zucchini Land, where reality steps aside, opening the door to one's imagination, where seasons change from week to week. With the promise of new adventure, where hopes and dreams dance with the magic of music. It is here that we find the Zucchini Brothers, Jack, Steve, and Sam, with their dog Polly and their friend Susan on the back porch of the clubhouse. It's story day.
It's a nice day.
Sure is, Steve. You know, pretty soon we'll be able to rake the leaves into big piles and jump in them.
Yeah.
I think the leaves look like butterflies, the way they twirl to the ground.
Yeah, like a whole bunch of them flying around.
Yeah.
Hey, how about we listen to a story from Mike Pinder called The Butterfly Boy?
Story time, story time, story time, story time.
There once was a boy who dreamed he was a butterfly. And as a butterfly, he always dreamed he was a boy. And this would sometimes get him into trouble, because sometimes he would forget he was a boy and think that he was a butterfly. Once a buffalo blocked the road, so the boy tried to fly over him and wound up on the buffalo's back instead. And the buffalo carried him for 3 miles while the boy lay on his stomach, flapping his arms and laughing and joking. Everyone fell in step behind him and called it the Butterfly's Parade. And the buffalo carried him right into the city. He saw the butterflies embroidered on a lady's robe, and they looked so real that he jumped off the buffalo and tried to dance with them, and got hit on the nose with her fan. And as he stood in the market, he heard people shouting about their fresh fish, shouting about their vegetables, shouting about their flowers. And he became hungry, but like a butterfly rather than a boy. And he put his face to the flowers and tried to suck the nectar. But whenever he made a fool of himself, the laughter of the others only sounded like the roaring of a wind, carrying him higher and higher towards the sun. The warmth of the sun, hugging the warmth with rainbow wings, and then dancing, dancing in a ragged, coarse robe. Dancing and drumming on his thighs to the clicking of the cicadas. And the more they laughed, the higher he flew, and the faster he danced, right out of the city and back to his tiny house, with boards held together by vines and a door made of brambles. The world was like a book to him, and the fields and hills, the rivers and lakes, were like pages full of words. Words that he understood as a butterfly, but not as a boy. As a butterfly, he would sit upon a flower, watching the morning mists drifting along the river, and remembering people's shadows, slipping along city streets. So lonely, so tired. Melting into the cold shadows of banks and palaces, of forts and prisons. And he would feel sorry for the others who could not see with butterfly eyes. As a boy, he could stand for hours staring into a puddle because he saw the rainbow shining on the surface like a skin shed by a snake, like the ghost of a seashell. When someone asked why he was staring at scum, he tried and tried to explain, but he could only talk of snakes and seashells. So everyone thought he was stupid because he couldn't see how ugly things were, and he was sorry for the others who did not understand. And yet, either as a boy or a butterfly, he did not understand many things that people did. Once a great lord invaded their land, and before him marched his mighty army with spear points gleaming like a river of stars. Frightened, the other people knelt and bowed their heads against the dirt. For the lord's army made the ground tremble like an earthquake. But the butterfly boy only stood and laughed. For all the marching legs reminded him of a centipede hurrying along through the grass, thinking it was so important because it had so many legs. And the lord became angry when he heard the butterfly boy and ordered his soldiers to seize the insolent child. And when the soldiers led the boy before their lord, the boy began to weep. Instantly, the lord felt better. "Are you afraid of me now?" But the boy had seen the lord with his butterfly eyes. And the lord, in his armor, reminded him of a beetle on its back, wriggling its legs. "I'm only sad for you," the boy said, "and all your other little bugs." And the lord ordered his men to let the boy go. "He is either a madman or a prophet," the lord said, "and I have no quarrel with either." Winter came early, and the lord and his army perished in the snow. So there was a great celebration with feasting and fireworks, and everyone remembered the butterfly boy. So they made him guest of honor and called him brave and wise. But praise meant no more to him than insults, and the fireworks reminded him of the lovely flowers that had vanished, and the sound of footsteps in the snow, so crisp, so cold, reminded him of the end of flying and the end of life. So he ran back to his house and shuffled inside, feeling very, very sad and thinking, "Maybe the others are right. Maybe I am a fool." But at New Year's, in the midst of the cold and the dark and the snow, the wild plum tree flowered outside his house, and the scent of its pink blossoms, so sharp, so sweet, slipped through his flimsy walls and reminded him that all things return, and that the snow was a giant cocoon for the rebirth of the world. And as a boy, he ran out into the winter snow and flitted about through a rain of pink petals like a butterfly floating through the flowers. And as a butterfly, he flew into a summer meadow and hopped and skipped among the flowers like a boy dancing in the snow. There once was a boy who dreamed he was a butterfly. And as a butterfly, he always dreamed he was a boy. And he was never sure which he liked better.
We just heard The Butterfly Boy from Mike Pinder.
And we're all listening to the Zucchini Brothers live at the clubhouse.
Would anyone like some juice?
Sure.
Yeah. Be right back.
Thanks, Jack.
Alrighty. Our next story is from Pete Seeger, and it's called Abba Yo-Yo.
Abba Yo-Yo, Abba Yo-Yo, Abba Yo-Yo, Abba Yo-Yo. Once, long, long, long ago, there was a little boy, and he liked to play the ukulele. Clink, 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 he was always playing the ukulele all over the place. But you know, the grown-ups say, "Get away, we're working here, go off by yourself, you're getting in our way." Not only that, the boy's father was a magician. He had a little magic wand. He could go zoop, zoop, make things disappear. But the father was a practical joker. He'd come up to someone who was drinking a nice glass of something, just about to, well, and the father would go zoop, zoop, and the glass would disappear. He'd go up to someone who was busy doing a hard job of work, maybe sawing a log of wood. Well, the father would come up, zoop, zoop, with his little wand, and the saw would disappear. He'd go up to someone that was just about to sit down, all tired out, zoop, the chair would disappear. Well, people said to the father, "You get out of here too, you and your magic wand. You and your practical jokes. Get out." And the boy and his father, they made him live on the edge of town. But now in this town, they used to tell stories to... They used to tell stories about the giants that used to live in the old days. Used to tell a story about a giant called Abba Yo-Yo. They said he was as tall as a house. Nobody believed it, but they told the stories just the same. But one day the sun rose blood red over the hill. And the first people that got up, they looked out of their windows and they saw a great big shadow in front of the sun. And they could hear the whole ground shake. Down over the mountain came this great big figure. Down through the fields came Abba Yo-Yo. He comes to the pasture where the sheep are. He grabs a whole sheep, boom, eats it down in one bite. He comes to the pasture where the cows are. He grabs a whole cow, boom, eats it down in one bite. Down towards the village come Abba Yo-Yo, nearer and nearer. Just then the boy and his father woke up. They'd been up late the night before, I think, at a party or something, and they'd been sleeping late. The boy looked out the window, and he said, "Hey, hey, Pa, come and look. What's this coming over the fields?" His father rubbed the sleep out of his eyes, and he looked and said, "Oh, good heavens, son, it's Abba Yo-Yo. Oh, if only I could get him to lie down, I could make him disappear." The boy says, "Come with me, father." He grabs his father by one hand. The father grabs the magic wand. The boy grabs ukulele, and they start running. They run, and they run across the fields right up near Abba Yo-Yo, right up in front of him. And Abba Yo-Yo looked down at these two little figures way down at his feet, and he raised his big old claws. Now, he had long claws because he never cut them. He had slobbery old teeth because he never brushed them. He had matted old hair because he never combed it. He had stinking old feet because he never washed them. And he raised up with his big old claws. And just then the boy whips out his ukulele and starts to sing. Abiyoyo, 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 abiyoyo. Well, you know, the monster had never heard a song about himself before. And a foolish grin spread over his face. And he started to dance. Abiyoyo, abiyoyo, abiyoyo. And he kicked his heels. Abiyoyo, yo, 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 yo. Yo, 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 yo. And he went faster and faster. The giant was dancing around. Ab yo yo, 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 ab yo yo. He started to get out of breath, and the boy went faster. Ab yo yo, ab yo yo. The monster was out of breath. He fell down on the ground. The father steps up with his magic wand, zoop, zoop, and ab yo yo disappears. The people streamed out of their houses. They came across the fields, and they lifted the boy and his father up on their shoulders. They said, "Hooray, he's gone!" And they all sang, "Come on back to town, bring your darn ukulele, we don't care anymore." Ab-yo-yo, 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 yo-yo, yo-yo, ab-yo-yo, yo-yo, yo-yo. So ever since that day, in that little town, whenever parents have been putting their children to sleep, they tell them the story about the giant named Abiyoyo. And it's a good song to go to sleep on. Abiyoyo, 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 yo-yo, yo-yo, Abiyoyo, yo-yo, yo-yo, yo-yo.
We just heard Abba Yo-Yo from Pete Seeger.
Any more juice left?
Sure, Sam, here you go.
Oh, thanks. Anybody else?
No, thank you.
All right, how about one last story? This one's from Nora Dooley, and it's called Luigi the Tailor of Napoli.
Everybody said that Luigi the Tailor was as cheap as yesterday's newspaper and as thrifty as a twice-used teabag. The truth was, there were just too many mouths to feed at his house, so Luigi never bought anything new for himself. He was a good tailor and worked hard. One day, after a lot of saving and scrimping, Luigi was able to buy himself a gorgeous bolt of heavy blue linen, and he made his first new coat. How he loved that coat! That coat was like his second skin. He wore it out, he wore it in. And in less time than it takes for a tree to grow old, but longer than it takes for soup to grow cold, he wore that coat right out. One day Giovanni the farmer called out to him, "Hey, Luigi, you want a job? You could be my new scarecrow in that coat." Well, Luigi looked at his coat and said, "Giovanni, my coat is a little bit distressed," he said, "but you just wait and see." And that very night, with a snip here and a snip there and a stitch here and a stitch there, eccolo, Luigi turned what was left of his coat into a jacket. That jacket was like his second skin. He wore it out, he wore it in. But in less time than it takes for a hill to grow old, but longer than it takes for your meatball to grow cold, Luigi wore his jacket right out. One day Stefano, the butcher's boy, said, "Hey, Luigi, what do you got on? You look like you've been through my meat grinder." Luigi looked at his jacket. "Stefano, you're right. This jacket is a raggedy mess, but you just wait and see." And that very night, with a snip here and a snip there and a stitch here and a stitch there, eccolo, Luigi turned what was left of his jacket into a vest. Oh, he loved that vest. That vest was like his second skin. He wore it out, he wore it in. But in less time than it takes for a rock to grow old, but longer than it takes for your spaghetti to grow cold, Luigi wore his vest right out. One day, Tommaso, the pasta maker, said to Luigi, "Hey, Luigi, you don't need to buy pasta. Look what you got on. Looks like you're wearing spaghetti." Luigi looked at his vest. "No, Tommaso, this is my vest, which you noticed has very good ventilation. But you just wait and see." That very night, with a snip here and a snip there, and a stitch here and a stitch there, eccolo, Luigi turned what was left of his vest into a hat. Ah, oh, he loved that hat. That hat was like his second skin. He wore it out, he wore it in. But in less time than it takes for a river to grow old, but longer than it takes for a loaf of bread to grow cold, Luigi wore his hat right out. One day at the vegetable market, Vincenzo said, "Hey, Luigi, did your wife peel a potato and leave the peel on your head?" Luigi took off his hat. "Well, Vincenzo, in truth, this hat is more hole than hat, but you just wait and see." And that night, with a snip here and a snip there, and a stitch here and a stitch there, eccolo, Luigi turned what was left of his hat into a bow tie. That tie was like his second skin. He wore it out, he wore it in. But in less time than it takes for a mountain to grow old, but longer than it takes for the night fire to grow cold, Luigi wore his tie right out. At breakfast one morning, his wife said, "Luigi, caro, are you growing a beard?" Luigi felt his neck. "No, no, carissimo," he said. "That is my tie, or what is left. You just wait and see." And that night, with a snip here and a snip there, and a stitch here and a stitch there, eccolo, Luigi made what was left of his tie into a button. He loved that button. It was like his second skin. He wore it out, he wore it in. But in less time than it takes for a star to grow old, but longer than it takes for your hug to grow cold, Luigi wore his button right out. And one day his youngest daughter asked, "Hey, Papa, do you got spaghetti sauce on your shirt?" And Luigi laughed, "No, no, my cara bambina. That, that was my button. But you just wait." That very night, Luigi took what was left of that button, and with a word here and a word there, eccolo, he made this story.
We just heard Luigi the Tailor of Napoli from Nora Dooley.
Clubhouse phone.
Oh, I got it. Zucchini Brothers Clubhouse, Steve Zucchini speaking.
For quality assurance, this call will be monitored by a telemarketing coach.
Hello?
Mr. Zucchini, my name is Sasha Shmivozo, calling from Stickum's Carpet Cleaners. Could we give your carpets a free steam cleaning?
So this is free?
It's only $19.95, sir.
Well, our clubhouse has no rugs.
Offer an alternative service.
Well, then maybe we could steam clean your wood floors.
I don't think that would be a good idea. Is this Amy the telemarketer?
Don't reveal your identity.
No, this is Sisha Shmivozo.
I thought you said you were Sasha Shmivozo.
No, no, no. My name is Shoshi Shmoviza.
Well, I think Amy is such a lovely name.
Oh, thank you.
I had a feeling it was you.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but we don't have any rugs to steam clean.
Offer the customer another possibility.
Well, then we'll steam clean your trees.
I think that would just aggravate the animals around our clubhouse. You see, there's gonna be a full moon out tonight.
Oh.
Hey, let's listen to a song from Mike Vreeland.
Outside under a full moon, it's pale light down from above. I went walking with my new girlfriend, ditch. We were all muddy, but we were laughing. I never knew love could feel like this. Her eyes, they sparkled under the moonlight, and I leaned forward to give her a hand. A full moon sure is a strange thing. Something right can sure go wrong. Blame the full moon for love's disasters and for the words to this dumb song. I walked her back home, she put clean clothes on. She asked me in for a bite to eat. She led me to her dining room table, pulled out a chair and said, have a cookie. Little later, on her front porch swing, we talked about the things we like to do. Said she liked walking and watching movies. All I could say was, I love
you.
Sports. A full moon sure is a strange thing. Something right can sure go wrong. Blame the full moon for love's disasters and for the words to this dumb song.
Our show. We'd like to say hello to you if you listen to us on stations like
Just Oxfordshire and Northwest Oxon, United Kingdom.
Hello!
If you'd like any information about the Zucchini Brothers, our concerts, our products, or anything you've heard on this show, or just to say hello, you can always go to www.zucchinibrothers.com. That's one word, and it's spelled Z-U-C-C-H-I-N-I-B-R-O-T-H-E-R-S. Keep those emails coming and look for show number
1294.
The Zucchini Brothers Live at the Clubhouse is produced, recorded, and edited by Sam Zucchini. And written by Jack Zucchini, Susan Meyer, and Sam Zucchini. The Clubhouse music librarian is Steve Zucchini. Today's special guest was Amy Helm. This show is a presentation of Zucchini Productions.
Let's sing it.
Sweaters and cheese. Sweaters and cheese. Sweaters and cheese and fudge.
Amy the telemarketer.
Yeah.
Intermountain West was once rich in native grasslands and in grassland birds. One in particular played an important role in the creation story of the Nez Perce or Nez Perce people, and that's meadowlark.
Meadowlark was coming up the Columbia River and told Coyote that there was a monster in the Kamai Valley.
This is Elliot Moffitt.
In our language, we talk about meadowlark, what the meadowlark characteristics were, because they were always talking, you know, and they were passing